This fifth Sunday of Lent in the church's calendar traditionally enters us into a small little window that we have called Passiontide. It is the last 2 weeks leading up to Easter. It's a time for us to begin to focus, as we see in our readings, but also in our lives, on the upcoming events of Jesus' saving death for us. This fifth Sunday of Lent, though, also comes in between two of the great solemnities that we have in this larger season of penance. That is, this last Thursday, we celebrated the solemnity of St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. And this coming Wednesday, we celebrate the solemnity of the Annunciation, the time when the angel Gabriel came to Mary to seek her consent to be the mother of God and to begin the great work of salvation of the Word made flesh. So today I'd like to focus on this fifth Sunday of Lent on those two kind of poles, as it were, that sit this day in context. The great figures of St. Joseph and then our Blessed Mother Mary. If we look at St. Joseph, I'd like to focus on just one aspect of him today. That is his courageous and sacrificial protection of the Holy Family. Now, one of my favorite kind of images in art of the Holy Family is when it's pictured with St. Joseph, and he's kind of maybe surrounding the Blessed Mother and the Christ Child, kind of with his cloak kind of around them, or maybe he's sheltering them somehow. We can see in that certainly the role of a father, his vocation, really, to protect the family. And certainly that was Joseph's role in the Holy Family. But to really see the sacrificial love that it took for Joseph to do that, I want to look just briefly at the circumstances in which Joseph became the father of this family. We read this at Mass this past week on the Solemnity of Joseph, if you attended, the story of how Joseph came to find out about Mary's pregnancy with Jesus. And to do that, we have to talk a little bit about the custom of marriage in the scriptures at the time of the Holy Family. The way this would work is that normally the parents would help arrange a marriage between two of their children, and then they would officially be given to each other as husband and wife in a betrothal ceremony. Now, we would tend to think of betrothal as some kind of an engagement, but at the time of the scriptures, and even in cultures to this day, betrothment is much more serious than simply an engagement. After all, an engagement is not a marriage. You wouldn't call someone husband and wife if they're engaged, and indeed, engagements sometimes end. However, with a betrothal, it was much more sacred. The two who are betrothed to each other would actually be called husband and wife, as we see in the scriptures. It says that Joseph was betrothed to his wife, Mary. The thing about the betrothal is, though, although they are considered married in most respects, the one thing that is absolutely forbidden during the time of betrothal is that they would not live together nor have marital relations. Betrothal would last about a year, and then at the end of the time of betrothal, the sign that the marriage is now completed is that the husband would come, having probably in that year built a house and found a job. He would come to the house of the bride and take his bride back to the new house that he had made. So he would take his wife into his home. That's the situation of how a marriage would normally work. Part of this period of betrothal was precisely to see that, indeed, they could remain chaste. That they were not marrying out of mere passion or sentiment, but that this they took seriously. The need to provide for a family, to create a home. So, in that context then, here again the story of Joseph and Jesus' conception. The scriptures tell us that Joseph, the husband of Mary, while he was betrothed to Mary, found that Mary was with child. Now, right away, with our Jewish ears and our understanding of marriage, we should see the great scandal that that would have caused. After all, the whole point of betrothal was to not engage in marital relations, and yet Mary is with child. So just from the standpoint of everyone in the town, there would have been this great kind of scandal. How can this be? But then it would have moved towards, well, whose fault? Did the couple, were they just not able to remain chaste, or what happened? Now see it from the standpoint of St. Joseph. He knows he's betrothed to Mary. He's gone off. He's building a home. He's getting everything ready. And Joseph finds that Mary is with child. Well, of course, Joseph would know, without any doubt, this is not his child. So what is he to think? The scriptures tell us very wonderfully that Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph didn't have the scripture, so he didn't know this. All he knows is that, obviously, Mary has been unfaithful to the promise of betrothal with someone else. Now, under the law, Joseph would have had the option, indeed, probably the expectation, that because Mary has broken the betrothal promise, and not with him, but with somebody else, that he would have the right, and in fact, maybe even the obligation, to carry out what the law required, which is that Mary would be stoned to death. That's how seriously they took this promise of betrothal. It would have been considered adultery. Joseph, though, we know, doesn't do that. The scriptures tell us that he was a righteous man, so he knows the law. But there was, perhaps, another option. Joseph decides that he's just going to not denounce Mary publicly and just kind of withdraw away quietly. It says even divorcing to end the betrothal contract. Now picture that for a moment. What would the people think then? If Joseph fails to denounce Mary and instead quietly goes away. Well, everyone would, of course, assume then, well, this is Joseph's fault. It's his child, and he's not even going to take care of that child. Joseph is so embarrassed, he's not even going to have anything to do with it, and he's abandoned Mary and his child. Think of now the shame that would have come upon St. Joseph. Rather than denounce Mary and say this is her fault, Joseph was not willing to do that. Rather, think about this, Joseph was willing to take upon himself all the shame of the situation, let people think that it was his fault, and not say anything. Why would he do that? Well, it can only be because that is how much Joseph loved Mary. Sometimes we think, well, you know, it was just kind of this arranged marriage and that, you know, they didn't engage in marital intimacy, so did they really love each other? Think about how much love Joseph would have had to have for Mary. In fact, he loved her so much, he was willing to sacrifice for her. Willing to sacrifice his own life rather than have her life be sacrificed. Willing to lay down his good reputation. It says he was a just man and everyone knew it. He was willing to throw all that aside. So much did he love Mary. So much was he willing to sacrifice for her, even if she had apparently been unfaithful to him. That is an amazing bedrock of married love. The willingness to sacrifice for your spouse. God chose wisely when he chose Joseph to be the father on earth of his son Jesus. Joseph was a powerful father who knew that love requires sacrifice, even to the giving of his reputation. So we hold St. Joseph then as this one kind of post in our context of this larger day. With that in mind, we look at the other side now, the Annunciation, the great solemnity to come this week, where Mary gets the news about her unexpected pregnancy. The angel Gabriel comes to her, and she gets to hear firsthand God's plan. Now, imagine this, that God, who for thousands of years had been writing the story of our salvation, he brings it to hinge on the consent of this one teenage Jewish girl in the middle of nowhere in Galilee, in a tiny town. All of salvation history, God places in the hands of Mary. She's either to say yes or no. God respects her freedom so much that he would have all of us today, all of the salvation of the world, hinge upon Mary saying yes. But of course, God also chose wisely in preparing the Blessed Mother to be the mother of Jesus. It wasn't easy for her. It says that she was troubled. And yet, in the face of trouble, what does she do? She places her trust in God and says, well, I'm the handmaid of the Lord, so if this is what the Lord asks, I will do it. And so, like Joseph, we have in Mary this great image of obedience. But not some blind obedience that Mary is overpowered Notice it says that when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Not overpower, but overshadow you. Fully respecting Mary's free will, Mary says, okay, if God, who I trust, asks this of me, I will do it. And notice then the shame that Mary would have to know would come. After all, she is betrothed, she's not yet living with her husband, and she is found with child. She too has to assume that people would look down upon her. She was not apparently chaste enough. She, who is the chaste of all chaste virgins, would be considered by the people in Nazareth that she would have failed, that she was not faithful, even if it was with Joseph, to her betrothal promise. How scandalous that would have been. And yet she too consents. She's willing to sacrifice her reputation, sacrifice her plans for her life in order to do God's will. I say that these two great feasts then, St. Joseph and the Annunciation, serve as a beautiful kind of, context for this fifth Sunday of Lent. Because now we look at what comes from the yes of Joseph and the yes of Mary. Well, of course, Jesus comes. And into that context of this fifth Sunday of Lent, we read this gospel of Jesus telling us about his coming passion. He, as God, is able to see what is about to come. He is willing to lay down his life for us, for the salvation of the world. Notice that Jesus, although he is God, he's also human. And I think sometimes we're a little too quick to rush to the fact, well, Jesus is God, so he knows everything. So he knows he's going to die, and he knows he's going to rise again, so it's probably not that bad. It was greatly difficult for Jesus. But I want to draw your attention to, with these doorposts, as it were, of Joseph and Mary, the scriptures also tell us that Jesus is a little child. He learned from them. It says he grew in wisdom and knowledge and grace and was obedient to his parents. Why is this so important? Well, I think we have to say that in his humanity, as we see Jesus today in our scripture about to lay down his life for his bride in sacrificial love, we might rightly ask ourselves, well, where did he learn this? How did Jesus have the strength to do this? Well, we say, well, he's God. True, but in his humanity, Jesus would have grown up looking at Joseph, his father. This just man who was willing to lay down his life and sacrifice for his bride, Mary. Jesus would have grown up around that. We don't have most of the deeds of Joseph. But no doubt Joseph would have lived his married life the same way he began it. Constantly Jesus would have seen Joseph laying down his life, his time, his work, his efforts, giving all to his family, putting Mary and Jesus first in everything, sacrificing for his bride. Jesus would have grown up surrounded by that kind of example of what it means to love. So we shouldn't be surprised that maybe that is where Jesus also finds the strength in his humanity to lay down his life for his bride, the church. Where does Jesus get the strength to learn to say yes to God's will? We read in the scriptures today that although he knows what's going to happen, he says, I am troubled. Well, where else have we seen someone troubled? The angel Gabriel came to Mary, said, Hail, full of grace. And she was troubled at what this meant. Where does Jesus learn to say yes to God in spite of trouble? Well, he too grew up looking at Mary, his mother, who constantly probably gave him the example of here's what it means to reflect on God's word and say yes. Here is what it looks like to be constantly obedient to the Father. Jesus grew up surrounded in that kind of loving example. So it shouldn't be surprising then that in our gospel today we hear him say, what should I say? Save me from this hour? No, it's for the reason I'm in this world that I come to this hour. And Jesus says yes to the Father's will, even to sacrificing his life for us. We see the great example then of Joseph and Mary. And when the two come together, they give us Jesus, who truly learned from them. So the lesson, I think, for us then, is that if we want to be like Jesus, we too have to surround ourselves with these great two doorposts of Joseph and Mary. We have to be like them if we want to be like Jesus. How much today, if we look at fathers and the need for fathers in our families, what a beautiful example Joseph is of married fatherly love. to be willing to sacrifice your own desires, your own reputation, even your own life for the good of your family. To constantly say, not my will, whatever my family needs first. Oh, how much we need fathers like that today. We look and see all the problems in our world, and how often can we trace it back precisely to a lack of a father present in the family. Maybe not even there at all. Maybe a family refusing to lead and protect his family spiritually like Joseph did. How many of our world's problems today could be solved with strong spiritual fathers? Fathers willing to sacrifice. So we have to pray for that, that fathers would become like St. Joseph. We look at Mary and we say, how can we be more obedient to God? How many times is this world in trouble precisely because we say, no, God, not what you want. I'm me. I'm my own person. I'll decide what's good for me. We say, no, God, not your will, my will be done. If we want to be like Jesus, then we have to be like Mary, to constantly obey God, to trust, to say, God, your way. I trust you. I'm willing to sacrifice. It looks like it's going to create great hardship in my life to do what you want, but I trust, because that's what Mary did. If we do that, then here in this fifth Sunday of Lent, right about to enter into this great passion, if we take Joseph, that strong, sacrificing father, and Mary, that obedient, humble servant of the Lord, as our great examples, if we place ourselves between Joseph and Mary, trying to be like them, well, then we shouldn't be surprised that we will become more like Jesus. And not only will we understand how it is that he enters his passion, but we might just find that Joseph and Mary will give us the strength to enter into the passion, to take up the cross of our life that God has prepared for us.